Happy Friday, my friends. This week, we sat down with Courtney Warner. Courtney is a stand-up comedian, podcaster, comedy writer, and aspiring TV writer. We discussed the best times to go to Trader Joe's, the Hogwarts houses, and the importance of comedy. Welcome to the Happiest Hour podcast.
Like, so I know at Trader Joe's anyway with cheese, there's like, we have this one cheese called like a Dutch smoked cheese, and it is basically like a Gouda, but it doesn't meet all the requirements. There's a list of things for cheeses to pass, like for whatever, to like be considered a certain type of food or cheese. And it is almost there, but it's not quite. So that's why it's called a Dutch smoked cheese, which I'm guessing might be a similar situation for that fake tequila.
Interesting. Yeah. So does it like have like one of those labels where it's like compare it to Gouda?
Yeah, it's like, yeah, it kind of like, yeah, or at least on
like all of those non-brand name prescriptions.
Right. Yes, exactly. Like similar to Aleve.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
Everyone, I'm sure, is probably wondering.
Oh, we're recording. Oh, my God.
We are recording. We've been recording for a long time.
Oh, I've been recording for
I don't know if we caught the fact that Courtney mentioned that she works at Trader Joe's.
Yes.
But the word is out. So we need to know.
Yeah.
What is the best time to go to Trader Joe's if you don't want to get ran over by soccer moms?
All right. Yeah. No, I have been preparing 6 years for this question specifically, not because I can't find any other work. okay. So like, and I don't know what it's like post pandemic now, you know, and like BC is now before coronavirus. Sorry, Jesus. So, before pandemic, I would say like Tuesday, Wednesdays between like 9 to 11 a.m. were always good. And also Friday nights around like 6:30, 7 o'clock. Now, I would say maybe like Thursdays at like around the same time, like between nine and 10, because 8 a.m. you got those like bum rushers who are just like, it's like, you know, waiting in line.
They're for the doors opening.
Yeah, it's like they're at Apple or something.
I've definitely done that before.
You have?
Yes, absolutely. Because that's when the parking lot
is empty.
The most chill.
I agree. I mean, I don't know how people like voluntarily go, and again, I don't know how
people voluntarily support my establishment.
Yeah, I don't know how you've kept giving me a job for 6 years, and like, but like, you go into that interesting parking lot, we'll say that, and then you have to wait in a line, and it might be raining, it might be hot outside, like who knows, and you get to the door, all that stuff. It's just like, I appreciate the patronage. Might as well be Mrs. Trader Joe. That might just be who I am at this point. I appreciate it. But man, like, yeah, even like, okay, so like I work at the, just if anyone, I'll also give up my social security number after this too.
And her home address.
And my home address. My birthday's April 13th.
How old are you?
I am 28.
28?
I don't know. 27 was exciting for me.
Was it?
Kind of.
Over the COVID year?
Yeah, because it was the first year I didn't have to like do anything or be anywhere. Like,
okay.
I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I don't have any plans. I'm going to stay home. So like my day was.
So your excuse was to not make plans. Your excuse was, I don't have any plans.
Yes, exactly.
So
I don't have
I'm not going to make any plans.
Right.
Oh, yeah. That's beautiful.
So the same kind of philosophy with this year, like I feel like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing like most of the time, but I just feel like I'm always busy. And so like, I decided like at least next week, I'm not going to really do a whole lot of anything. I might go to the Frist or something like by myself and like just go on. Like last year I went on like a hike for like about an hour or so, like close to where I used to live, and then went home, kind of chilled out, got some Shake Shack, had a bottle of champagne, did like
a whole bottle. Nice.
Oh, I mean, yes.
I mean, it was COVID.
Yeah, and it was like, it was, you know, Monday, and
it was early on in COVID.
It was early
on. It was like a month into quarantine.
Yeah.
So at that point, I feel like everyone had a lot of feelings.
Yes.
And were very, very concerned.
Yeah, and they were all like, it was weird to have a birthday during that COVID in general has been interesting. Just for our visual, well, we'll get into what I look like later on because I can get into that later. But just like COVID, just up and down, it's been an interesting time for me because my birthday being early on, being an essential worker, having a birthday early on in COVID, people were just like wanted to talk all the time to me. And I'm like,
yeah,
I remember early on in COVID too, like last year, like around my birthday, around this time, I had people who I barely talked to be like, we should have a FaceTime, we should talk. And I'm like, about what? Like, wow, really?
Because people were craving connection
so
much.
Yeah, and they were like, really interesting. They were like, tell me about what it's like working as an essential worker. And I'm like, it's the same as it always is, but a little more shitty. I don't know. I have to try and toe the line because I realize now you all know where you work, including, I don't know. I have a couple of, I don't, I have coworkers who listen to what I do, so.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. I'm not concerned about anyone that you know hearing this.
Oh, yeah.
Really, really, the only people who are listening to this are people that, some of the people that we know, like five of them.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
All five of them.
Yeah.
And then actually.
All five of our friends.
Yeah. But yeah, so. So no plans for this year.
Are you an introvert?
Yeah.
Okay. So you like the whole like doing birthday solo, recharging. Do you feel like it kind of gets you in this mode of just resetting and being able to think through your year and just re-energize to go into your next year of life?
I think so. Like I get pretty sad around my birthday. Mm-hmm. Like I've always been just really like I put a lot of figured this out in therapy this past week, just like how much pressure I put on myself in general. And I remember the age of 10 being like, oh, I'm 10 and I haven't done anything yet. And that's been every
wow, you started feeling that at 10?
Yeah, because I'm like, I'm double digits now, and like, God, it's just not gonna get any easier after that.
My gosh, that sounds like such an a mature 10-year-old, but also sounds like you've probably been dealing with anxiety for a long time.
Yeah, depression and anxiety. It's like, okay, look, I know it's not in vogue to talk about Woody Allen, but I will say Annie Hall, the opening scene in Annie Hall where he's like a kid in class, he's just mm-hmm. like, I don't understand about the universe. Like, what am I supposed to do? And like that whole montage, I had never felt more seen, and I hate that between him and also, well, we're just going to go down the line of the people that aren't okay. Also the show Louie, I felt very seen by that show. We can cut all that out. Actually, I recommend that you cut all that out. I'm so sorry.
You know, I think it's fair to talk about these
sorts of things.
Yeah, this media or these parts of culture that have, you know, meant a lot to us.
Very candid.
Or meant a lot to us at any different stage in life, right? Even if it's not necessarily kosher to talk about it anymore.
Right. And it's like, it is weird because thinking about Woody Allen made me think about like all these other people I used to like a lot. And I'm like, I really identify with like these middle-aged white dudes and I don't know why. And so, it's kind of unfortunate.
That is really interesting.
I don't want to identify in every single way, of course. which reminds me, I heard you're an 8.
No, I'm a 7.
You're a 7? Okay, I can see that.
Oh, no, did I say I was an 8? That we got to fact check that because I was wrong. I'm a 7 that...
Unless I misspoke earlier.
Oh, did you tell her that I was an 8? Oh, yeah. No, I'm not an 8. Okay. I'm a 7 that can wing 8 or wing 6, depending on what's going on. So but you were very excited about it. Why were you excited that I was an 8?
Because I'm a 4, and I know 8s and 4s get along really well. But I have a lot of friends who are 7s, too. Most of my improv friends are 7s.
That makes sense.
7s and 5s, weirdly. I guess the analytical with, like, that performative kind of, like, always like moving parts, and I'm like, that makes sense. And then I'm just like the sad person in the corner. I'm like, can we just write this stuff down? I don't know. We have to just let it all go right now.
That is, that's really funny. I do feel like 4s are just so in their feelings.
Oh my, all the time. Like it's like, Courtney, just chill out, please. Even
but
when I'm by myself,
you gotta let yourself do that. Have you been in counseling for long, or is this like a new thing that you've kind of started doing?
It's been like, maybe since like September of 2019. And I've seen a couple different people. Like I had one therapist for a little over a year. She was very like specific, which I don't want to get into right now. Maybe another time. But like,
sure,
I had
part 2.
I would love to come back and just shit on everybody in my life that led me to that point.
The happiest hour.
Yes.
The dish episode.
The happiest. Yeah. We just wear Mickey Mouse ears. The happiest hour on earth.
The happiest hour club.
Yes, right. Oh my God. Just superimpose our bodies over Justin Timberlake and Britney Spears and Ryan Gosling.
Absolutely.
I'll be Ryan. I think I have the body type.
I used to be so good at Photoshop. I'm going to have to show you a picture later. I photoshopped a picture of me with all of my celebrity birthday twins.
Oh my
so
God.
Aaron Rodgers.
What?
Charlie Puth.
Whoa.
Lucy Liu. Britney Spears.
We're totally going to put this all over social media.
Jana Please Kramer, y'all. I'm so proud of it.
You have really good people. When's your birthday?
December 2nd.
Oh, you're a Sag. Okay.
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
Okay. Also a fellow fire sign. I'm an Aries. Well, yeah. So
I don't follow horoscopes at all, yeah. I don't actually know what any other time of the year is, but I would love to hear about your horoscope. Do you follow them?
I follow my time of the year.
Okay.
And then my friends and also people I have crushes on. I'll be like,
nice. Okay.
Which is an embarrassing, or like exes too, where I'll just be like,
this is why it didn't work out.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, it's your fault. Okay. That's clearly what it was. Aries are perfect.
You're Capricorn. We don't mix.
Yeah.
It's funny.
But at the current moment, I just care about myself. There's no one else really in the peripheral right now.
I love that. Where do you go to look at your horoscope? Is there just like a horoscope.com?
Oh, okay. Well, I don't have my phone on me right now, but it's CoStar. It's an app, and you just plug in your birth. You find me on there. We can become friends. We can see our compatibility as friends.
Oh, really?
You put in your birthday, and it gives you your sun, moon, and rising signs, along with like all your other, like, I think there's like, I don't, 9 other houses that like in rotates, and like you can find your friends on there, so your friendship compatibility, love compatibility.
What happens if you find one of your real life friends on there and that the app tells you that you're not compatible? Do you ditch them?
No, it's happened, but it makes sense in some ways. Like I don't fully believe in all of this any more than I really believe in a lot of other things, honestly. At this point, I'm just at a crossroads personally. Part two. Yeah. I mean, speaking of Harry Potter, we have Harry Potter right here. Like I was saying, horoscopes and Hogwarts houses, I think it's like all kind of similar to me, where it's a good way to just be self-reflective. Unless, like, you're wearing an orange shirt, you're gonna meet someone who's gonna want to kill you today. Sorry, cut that out. Why did I go to death immediately? God.
This is hilarious.
I don't think like it's that it works like that, because it's so broad that like,
yeah,
oh, you can leave it to chance. But certain things, I'm like, yeah, that's a good thing to maybe think about that I do maybe, or I've noticed that in other people. So much like with the Enneagram too, like compatibility and stuff with friendships, it's really, I find that really fascinating.
Yeah.
Because I want to understand my friends. It's like, why aren't we, why I don't click with somebody. And it's sometimes just a simple fact is we don't get along.
Yeah. You know? Or, you know, it does. So I love personality assessments. I understand that a lot of people don't, because they're like, it puts me in a box.
Yeah.
I don't want to do this. And I totally get where they're coming from.
Right.
But I think of them always as frameworks.
Yes.
So I am just like, this gives me a bottom line, just like, you know, functional level of understanding of why I behave or interact or engage with people or things the way that I do.
I agree.
And then you can either fix yourself, because just because it's who you are doesn't mean that you need to stay that way.
Right.
People
absolutely
are jerks, but they don't need to stay jerks.
Agreed. Absolutely.
So, you know, we can use it to engage with others better, or we can understand like why we don't get along with someone well, because it, like, I don't know, it's just something about the way that we operate that we need to either fix or just like learn how to work around,
right,
kind of thing.
I agree with that, because I mean, yeah, I understand like the viewpoint of like, yeah, being put into a box or whatever, but at the same time, we are complex beings, and so it's hard to understand ourselves. So if we can have some sort of a baseline of like, maybe this is why I'm reacting this way, or why this other person acts this way, and just kind of being able to, I think with that knowledge, with only more knowledge, you can like become more liberated, I think,
mm-hmm,
in a lot of ways with how you see yourself in the world and others. And so I love them. And also, mm-hmm, like, I like doing like the character ones, like Myers-Briggs, I think, I like for different, like, you know, again, Harry Potter characters and stuff. I really love Harry Potter, and I just am tickled that you have Harry Potter.
Harry Potter is great.
Oh, awesome. What's your Hogwarts house? Do you know?
Well, you know, obviously I want it to be Gryffindor.
Of course.
Because I want to be brave and want to be a hero. But I think probably I'm going to be more of either a Slytherin or a Ravenclaw.
Yeah, okay.
Either one I don't necessarily think are super bad.
No, I don't think so.
But, you know, sometimes sometimes I'm a Hufflepuff, man. Yeah. I mean, it just depends on the day.
You're a complex individual.
Exactly.
And
we can't be put into houses.
No, we can't be boxed in. Yeah. Like, look at okay, so you have Beauxbatons and Durmstrang, I think, are the other two schools. And the Potterverse, and they're the only ones who don't, I mean, I guess Durmstrang has bred a lot of dark wizards. You obviously have Grindelwald, who came out of there. But I think by and large, because they're separating these kids at like age 11, into these like little boxes that kind of like makes all these weird like rifts and alliances and stuff and kind of prejudice is,
yeah.
I think. Also, I think we haven't hung out a ton, obviously, but just from the times we have hung out, that feels passive aggressive, and that's not what I'm trying to.
Oh my gosh, no, I didn't think that was passive aggressive.
Okay, good.
At all.
I was just I don't mean it like that, but like, because I want to hang out more, and I Ravenclaw.
But I'm not going to be one of your friends who like reached out randomly over COVID and was like, let's hang.
I know. Yeah. Tell me about everything that you
tell
do.
Tell me about the last 10 years.
Yes, please. I'd say you're a Ravenclaw, I think, because I think where the intersection, because like each house, I think, is connected. And I've watched so many videos about Harry Potter houses specifically and like kind of the dark sides and the lighter sides of it. And I think Ravenclaw, because you seek knowledge, but you also seek different ways to be creative and get your creative expression out. And I think that's a lot of what Ravenclaw is like they really value information and knowledge, sometimes to the point of it hurting other people. Like Ollivander is this interesting to
the
anybody?
Wand guy. Yes. I love the route that we're going down.
Ollivander is a Ravenclaw, and he designed the wand that Voldemort used. Obviously, the one where Harry and him have the, you know. And Ollivander, he knows what he did was wrong, but he was like so in awe of his own intelligence. He's like, I made that wand for the most powerful wizard. And that's like he has that dark kind of
the
covert
ego. Definitely have an ego.
So I
everything that you just said is filling it. Thank you.
Oh yeah,
it's definitely making it bigger.
Perfect. So like that really stuck with me when I was watching this like one video that this German guy who makes these Harry Potter videos on YouTube, and I watched him at like 3 in the morning, and I'm like, yes, I agree. Yeah, absolutely. We need to be friends.
You have so much to say, yeah, German guy.
And he's probably like 16 and like has braces. Not that that's bad. We had braces.
We all had braces. Nikki J, did you have braces?
I did have braces.
Did you watch or read Harry Potter?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so we're all on the same page.
He's with us.
Yeah,
what house are you?
Oh, Gryffindor.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Wow,
yeah.
He said that so confidently.
You were just like, that's true Gryffindor.
I feel like
though.
No one's like really that confident about being a Gryffindor. They're like, I want to be a Gryffindor.
I see. I took the quiz. I made so many accounts on Pottermore, and I took the quiz.
did
the same thing.
I only made like 2 or 3 accounts. Yeah, but
me too. I did.
But I got Gryffindor for 2 of the 3, and I got Ravenclaw for the 3rd.
That's pretty good odds. I mean, those are pretty good odds. Yeah.
Yeah, like I got Gryffindor. Yeah, I think 2 or 3 times Gryffindor, and I think Ravenclaw is the other one. And like, if you think, and so but there are traits in all of the houses that kind of connect. If you look at like the Hogwarts houses, so you have like Gryffindor, you go in an order. I see like Gryffindor, Hufflepuff, Ravenclaw, Slytherin. They all, if you go in that clockwise order, you're all going to see like connections, like different like traits, so they overflow. And of course, the Golden Trio, each one of them could have been in 3 different houses. You know, Hermione and Ravenclaw, Harry and Slytherin, Ron and Hufflepuff. But also, this is just like, this is my fucking jam.
You
okay?
are so passionate
wow,
about this, and
great.
I
keep going.
Okay.
Love it.
Okay, cool. And then we can assess other fandoms as well. This is like what I love, and I don't get to, I feel like I'm like, no, I gotta be cool. I'm like, I gotta be like cool about this. I can't like, I'm like,
I don't think about Harry Potter that much.
Like, I don't think about it. I don't think about it at all.
That's funny. Girl, just be you.
Thank you.
Do you. Talk about Harry Potter.
Okay.
The Golden Trio.
The Golden Trio. Okay, so like, what's interesting about Hogwarts houses versus Ilvermorny houses, which are in like the Fantastic Beasts series, the American school, is that Hogwarts values it's like about what you value. So like that's why Peter Pettigrew was in Gryffindor, because he valued bravery, even though he was a literal rat.
Even though he wasn't brave.
Yeah, and like Neville
wanted to be brave.
He would really admired that in James and Sirius and Lupin, that he's like, I want to be those guys. And so that's why that's what he put him in Gryffindor, because that's what he really truly in his heart's desire wanted. Harry also kind of the same thing. He's like, not Slytherin, put me in Gryffindor. And that was where the hat was like, oh, it could be Slytherin, but I think also maybe Slytherin because he had a bit of Voldemort in him because of the Horcrux. So, who's to say? Certainly not J.K. Rowling. She's a crazy bitch. But
I mean, we are getting into part three here. I mean, we're gonna have to have part two, Courtney's feelings.
Yeah.
Part three, we are dissecting. Yes.
Harry Potter. Can we get into Star Wars for the love of God too?
And I think Nick would be super into that.
Can we do a spinoff?
We're doing a Star Wars one. There's another Nick that I know that needs to come in.
Wearing a Star Wars swag right now.
Yeah, I will wear mine. I made my own Han Solo costume and my own Kylo Ren costume, so father and son. And I wore for Han Solo one, I wore it to the midnight premiere of Force Awakens, and then for the Kylo Ren one was my Halloween costume a couple years ago where I wore it for a stand-up show. Won an award for best, because
Was it a Halloween stand-up show?
Yeah, it was like on the 27th or 28th. So it's
close enough.
Yeah, so I did that show in Chattanooga, drove back here because of the time change. I was able to go to a party
nice.
at 11:30 at night. It was great. And I got to show off the costume. And I have like this lightsaber. But for Kylo Ren's like cowl, I didn't like want to spend a lot of money on it, so I had a pair of leggings that I just like put on my head and just tied around.
Oh my gosh.
Kind of like in Bill Hader and Fred Armisen, Grey Gardens documentary now, where he wears the pants on his head and does. Have you seen that?
I haven't.
Oh my god! Okay, so Netflix. It's on Netflix. The first episode. It's called Sandy Passage. It's of documentary now. It's Bill Hader, Fred Armisen, John Mulaney, and Seth Meyers, and they all like. Well, John Mulaney and Seth Meyers write for it, and it's Bill Hader and Fred Armisen, and they just recreate documentaries, like famous documentaries. And the first one's Grey Gardens.
Funny.
And Bill Hader wears like pants on his head, and he has a little flag dance. He's like, "I'm a good dancer, Mom. Mom, don't chase the boys away. I'm a good dancer. I don't know what you're talking about. They like me." And so
I feel like Fred Armisen really found his niche
being
and just
a woman.
Like, well. And I was going to say, like, mockumentary-style things. Like, I mean, Portlandia, that is the whole basis of, like, his work, his character work, the writing, all of it. It's all just, like, mockumentary-style. And then he's doing this documentary now thing.
So good. And, yeah. Also, did you know he's dating Natasha Lyonne, who was in Russian Doll?
No.
And, yeah, they've been together for, like, a while now. Who
really?
Yeah. Who would have thought?
Interesting.
I know. I would not.
I loved Russian Doll.
Oh, me too. It was good.
It was fantastic.
I want that hair. I want like the curly.
Yes.
Not
so good.
So not that I'm like super woo-woo, although what I'm about to say is going to make me sound like it, but I saw an aura reader and she took my photo of my aura. I'm always like, I have the day off. Like, why not? Drop $50 and have a good conversation about myself, much like this.
Exactly.
You know? And so, but she had like this the red curly hair with like the curly bangs. Uh-huh. And I was just like,
It's following me everywhere.
I know, and I want, oh, God.
Can you see this in my aura?
Right. Can you see this? But I have like, the picture is bullshit. Like, so I thought it would be like some like kind of like a glamour shot almost, because I've seen them on like her Instagram, Territory site on Instagram. She's very nice.
We calling you out.
Yeah, no, she's, but like, I think I'm just because I'm on the shorter side. So you have to like, you have these plates that you put your hands on. And you have to, like, and, like, and
like dinner plates?
Like, metal plates.
Okay.
And it's connected to this camera that she, her camera, and apparently you can buy this, like, anywhere. So anyone can do this.
And the plates bring out your aura.
They read the heat off your hands, like, where, so you have to, like, press your hands down. And then, but the camera is like, I wish you would have lowered it, because I was just like. Just really, like, my neck is just, like, jutting out. And I don't think I smiled with my teeth, because I was just like. It was cold and my nose is running and I had a mask on. Then I took the mask off and my lips were chapped and I'm just like.
Well, the real question is, how did your aura look though? About you. About your aura.
Not about my physical appearance for once in my life, Courtney. I'm sorry that you guys can't. You aren't treated to my face and body.
Oh no,
we're
gonna show
world.
A picture.
Oh good, because that's really what I get jobs off.
It's a stand up picture. It's really cute.
Oh thank you.
I've already picked it out.
Oh you did?
Yeah.
Oh nice.
Yeah.
I was like, I have a portfolio. We can start from age 3 up until, not the dark ages, between ages 12 and 20, where we just don't look at pictures from then. It was just like, just bad haircuts, and I thought I was like a mix between Katy Perry and Avril Lavigne with like this like
Who
weird.
Didn't?
Everyone did, and then like maybe like a little bit of Hillary Duff in there for good measure.
That is an interesting combo.
I know, especially since I don't think the three of them got along. Katy Perry was like later on in the scene. I saw her on Warped Tour randomly.
Really?
She did Warped Tour in like 2008. And before.
Was she still a Christian artist then?
No, she, it was, I Kissed a Girl just came out like that summer. Okay. And okay. She had like a bright orange guitar and like her tour, she had like the biggest tour bus out of all of them, apparently. And I was just like, I thought it was Zooey Deschanel. So I was really excited.
Yeah. So and I was then like, you were let down.
Yeah. And I was just like, oh, okay, because I was really there because I grew up super religious. I was there to see Anne Berlin, Reliant K, and Family Force 5 is what I told my parents.
All still great bands, still they, even if you don't love Jesus.
No, I agree. Still, they, I mean, I still think Matt Thiessen is one of the best songwriters, mm-hmm. living songwriters. I mean, people keep saying Taylor Swift's the best, one of the best living songwriters. Song for song, Matt Thiessen's pretty fucking good.
Let's compare. I mean, I also think Taylor Swift is
Oh, she's
good,
amazing.
But
she is like,
yes, I am not yeah. discounting.
I'm... Like Matt Thiessen. Yeah. I think he should have, I don't know why he hasn't won a Grammy for anything, but I don't know if he's doing anything. So maybe that's why.
Fair. Yeah.
Like, you got to do something to get something, I guess, in life. And
that's what I've heard. Yeah.
That's, yeah, that's going back to the introvertedness too. That's why I feel like I need to talk. Obviously, insecurity, filling up space. I should let you do your job and talk to me.
No, my, just, like, no, oh my gosh, you. Are you kidding me? I love it. My job is just to get you talking.
Get me,
so,
get me all loosened up. I
yeah,
see
so, yeah,
a couple
that's what
drinks
the,
in me.
That's what the vino is for.
I love it.
So being an introvert mm-hmm. and doing stand-up, mm-hmm. are you exhausted after shows?
Yeah, I mean, yes. I think there is a little bit of a high if it goes well. And like of like... Oh, like more like a good job, Courtney. You did a good job. And that's mm-hmm. like more what I do. But like it's having this year off and like I've done stand up here and there, like outdoor shows and Zoom shows, but definitely not to the capacity I was doing before, like with stand up, sketch, improv, mm-hmm. plays, all that stuff. I didn't realize just how tired I was and just how like I work at a very social job for 8 hours in the morning at Trader Joe's. And then I go home and hang out for a little bit, usually just eat, get my like material together to go out for open mics or to do whatever. And then I'm out and like, it is such a social like industry where you're just like, you have to shake hands and talk to people and like do whatever mm-hmm. and kind of be on. And I'll admit I was spiraling probably towards the end. I had a little bit of a Britney Spears time. I feel like, I mean, no one cared. So I mean, it wasn't like.
Honestly, we've all had our Britney Spears moments.
We've all had
love her, share a birthday with her. Yes. However, we've all had our moments and they are bad.
They're bad. And like.
But she just, man, I mean, we're fit, like luckily not famous. No one cares.
I know. No one gives a shit. It's just like, oh, Courtney's having a bad night. We'll leave her. We'll yeah. let her just go home and sit in her yeah. car. Like, I would always just be really tired and just like. Resentful and just not even like there was a point I was getting to a point too where I this is a blessing that I was working a lot and like doing shows like paid or unpaid. A lot of them thankfully were paid and I was able to like not be at Trader Joe's as much before COVID because I was doing so much like stand-up and like other stuff and I feel very thankful for that. But there was getting to a point where I wasn't really enjoying it where I'm just like I drove all this way here's everything that I know will be funny, thank you, give me the money, I'm gonna drive home now, get up in 2 hours to go to Trader Joe's. And just kind of this cycle. And I was, yeah, it was just like, I wasn't within that, I don't feel like I was being my best, like creative self as well, where like I had a lot of stuff that I'd written kind of early on in my stand-up, you know, career sounds pretentious, but like just time.
You can say career. It's okay.
Career. Yeah. Again, for your five friends, you're like, oh my God, she knows a stand-up comedian.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. I know multiple people.
Oh my God.
Two.
Yeah. Whoa.
I know. It's a big deal.
Whoa. I'll make my improv team and my sketch class listen to this too.
Perfect.
That's like my teacher bullied my whole class to listen to my improv podcast. They're like, it's an assignment. You have to go subscribe.
That is hilarious, which is Murder, She Joked,
yes.
which we were going to talk about in a little bit, but we might as well ahead and bring it up now. So you have this improv-based podcast called Murder, She Joked. I listened to the first one the other day, and it's basically an untrue crime podcast.
Yeah.
I think this is a brilliant concept.
Thank you.
Were you guys just like, piddle paddling around one day and we're just like, we should do a podcast with this thing that we love so much?
Weirdly, like, so we were doing live shows actually just like for listeners, we're in Marathon Village right now, actually at the Loft at Third Coast, just like right down,
shout out to Third Coast.
Well, you know,
we can, okay,
actually that can be for part
reverse.
Two
yeah,
that can be for part two. Yeah, so we used to do shows, live shows. We were doing like we had a monthly show, and then we also got into some festivals and some out of town shows, And it was all based around the same concept of, like, it was a podcast, a live podcast. We didn't record it, but we acted it out. So someone would be the host, like, you listen to, like, someone would be, like, one of the
girls.
So
your improv shows were based, on this.
We're basically, yeah, we're basically this, but, like, in a live show form where we had, like, the host who was just one of the girls on the team who's a character or whatever host she wants to be. And then the rest of us come on and do interviews, and then we do scenes. So pretty much everything you listen to was what we were doing, but visually.
So you weren't taking suggestions from the audience like a lot of improv shows were. We were. Okay.
Yeah, we would go our suggestions. And also, if you want to send us suggestions, please email us at murdershejokedpod@gmail.com. We look for a name, occupation, and a non-familiar relationship. So we'd ask that from the audience. Now we just do that on Instagram or via email or like whatever. If people see our stuff on Spotify, they can email us and be like, Dick Piddlesticks, and he is a dentist in Fort Wayne, Indiana, or like whatever. And he
Angela Bassett Hound.
Yes, Angela
Bassett. Loved it.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, that was not my idea. But yeah, a lot of the names that I use are based off of Vanderpump Rules, so that's what I've been watching.
Nice. Oh my gosh. I had a roommate who loves Vanderpump Rules. Really all like reality.
Bravo, yeah.
Yeah, Bravo TV. Yeah. But I would come home on a daily basis and Vanderpump Rules.
I hate that I love it so much.
They all are so beautiful.
They're
so
stunning. And okay, going back to the nerd stuff. Okay, Lisa Vanderpump is the Tony Stark of the Bravo Cinematic Universe, and Andy Cohen is the Nick Fury, and he's the guy who does the roundtable talks all the time at the end of the reunion episode. So like, and I have not picked out who everybody else is just yet, but stay tuned.
Can't wait for that. Part four.
I know. Courtney assesses everybody in Bravo to Marvel. I'm just, you know, I have a knack. I think that's my God-given talent.
Yeah, man.
Some people
use
can
it.
Speak in tongues or sing. Yeah, so my growing up, my dad's side, a very interesting family. So, like, on one half, he has an aunt who is a white supremacist, not spoken to my parents since they adopted my brother and I. Also, full disclosure, I'm Asian. My parents are white. It's not
I was
going to
ask. Okay, yeah. I did not know that you were adopted.
Oh, I thought you said I didn't know you were Asian.
Nope.
We can cut that out. I'm not saying Gina's racist.
I will say that I have a lot of privilege, but I did know that you were Asian. But I didn't know you were adopted. That's super cool.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's however way you slice it, I guess. Sometimes I think, like, would it have been better just to work in a factory?
Wow. Do you think it would have?
Sometimes I'm like, I would have had a short life, but I wouldn't have known any better. There are times, let me tell you, girlfriend, there are times where I'm just like, oh, God. I could have just had a short life to the age of 7.
I feel like
rations.
That's
fucked up. But
again,
I think about it.
I'm speaking from privilege here. Do not know your story or like your experience. But I feel like there's probably a lot of identity issues that you grew up with up in like with white parents, but as an Asian American.
Yeah, and like that's something my therapist and I have been breaking down a lot too, and also just stuff I've been like looking at in the media, just with everything going on socially and stuff too. I mean, you can just fucking Google it yourself. I'm not gonna explain it to you. You know, look on Instagram. Anyway,
that stuff is happening.
There's a lot of stuff happening. Yeah. It's not great, and it's been going on for a while, and now it's finally coming to a head for Asian Americans. And I remember growing up and like, my parents are very loving and they mean well, but they honestly were like, we don't see you as Asian or as different. Mm. You might as well be white.
We don't see color.
We don't see color. That's pretty much what that is. And then people don't realize when they do that to other people of color, how damaging that is. It makes it seem like who you are is not inherently good. It's like, oh, you're not as good as us, but you all almost are. Or like you could be this good, or we don't see the beauty and the value that you bring being different. And just being raised that way, I just had a lot of like weird whiplash, like getting to college. I went to college for 1 year at this really conservative school in Indiana. We're not going to give the name because there's plenty of them. You can just like drop a needle anywhere on the map and you'll find a conservative liberal arts college that has racist people. And that was my first time experiencing blatant racism for people just not wanting to talk to me. And I had no idea.
Really?
There are two people in particular, I could call them out, but I don't remember their last names, frankly, who would not look me in the eye or like acknowledge me, but would talk to my other friends, my other like friends who
were
white
friends.
Yeah. But I'd be like, I'll just say, hey, Tyler. I'll just fucking say it. Hey, Tyler. And he would just like look away from me and not talk to me. And I didn't understand because I myself was like, I look like them. I don't understand because I just had no frame of reference for that. And people, I guess, just lied to me for 18 years and just didn't bother to be like, I knew I was adopted and knew that I'm from South Korea. My little brother is too, but we're not related. He's very, if all the ways that I am very round, he is very angular. And I hate that for all of us, mostly for me. He's happy with it, but he does not mind being handsome, basically. Just growing up, yeah, kind of growing up with that kind of weird, like, identity thing. So I'm kind of working through that now, just, like, living in the South now, experiencing a lot of just jarring interactions at, like, work and just in public and just especially with COVID and everything. It's been really weird to, like, finally be like, okay, I need to, like, address, like, the root of, like, what's going on and, like, who I am, how I feel about things, really, like, not only how people perceive me but how I see myself, because I just don't know if I don't know if I have a really good gauge on, like,
yeah,
on self-esteem or how I view myself in a positive way because of all of that, just being inherently told you don't look, you almost look good enough to be good enough.
That's very interesting. Yeah. So there have been a lot of conversations, I feel like, over the past year especially,
mm-hmm. Right.
where people are finally saying, like, parents, you have to talk to your kids about race. You mm-hmm. can't play yeah. the whole I don't see color card.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not helpful. But you're making a really interesting point because I feel like the majority of the time that's white parents speaking mm-hmm. to their white kids
right.
about why racism is really bad and how right. it is actually still very prevalent.
Right.
But this point is adoptive parents who mean really well
yeah.
who also are damaging their non-white, their BIPOC children
yeah. yeah.
in ways that they don't understand.
Right. Yeah. And again, they mean well, and they're like, I think also being raised, like most of the other people who I know who are adopted, which aren't really, I know of one other person who I know is adopted and like religious base family. Like, so it is very much like the white savior kind of trope, kind of thing where it's like, no, we're doing a really good thing. This is what God wants us to do. All that stuff. Again, I'm not religious. I'm just like reframe. Not that I need to keep disclaiming. I'm very secure in how I believe. Actually, I don't think I am. I don't know. That's again.
Girl, you just got to be you and you do not need to yes. justify yeah. it.
This will be part five.
Yeah.
Courtney discovers what she believes. That'll be, but like just, yeah, being, yeah, kind of that, being in that mentality and mm-hmm. also being the only being the only person of color besides my brother in church growing up. And then our homeschool, I was also homeschooled. So there was a whole lot. And there was the same group of people. So I only knew like 10 non-familial people until yeah. I was like,
last year.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And then they all went away because of COVID. So all these friends I made, and then now I do improv and stand up, which is like the whitest thing you could possibly do besides be a nonprofit, which, you know, my dad's a nonprofit, so I can say that, I feel like.
That's a really interesting perspective. Thank you for sharing that. I know yeah. you're like working through all of this, so I appreciate that you're like willing to yeah. communicate that.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, a lot of white people have fallen into the trap of being like, can you teach me everything right. about why you are struggling? And I hope that you like have not. Have you felt that way over this last year? Has that been that way for you?
Yeah. wine break. And, yeah, unfortunately, there has been a lot of, like, I have some friends, the pendulum swing is interesting, because I have some white friends who are, like, so, like, have so much white guilt that they're like, you don't need to teach me anything, but if you want to talk about your experiences with me, I will listen, and I will, mm-hmm. and, like, I have there's a sketch I want to write, basically, kind of about that, where it just gets, like, well, we can talk about the sketch later and get more.
We're going to get to that, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, okay, cool, good. So there is like that, there is a lot of like, man, we've been really messing up and like as a society. And I'm like, yeah, no shit. Of course, I've seen this in like my other POC friends as well, you know, and have dealt with that too. And but I do get a lot of like, well, how would you like me to respond or like this or like, how do you feel about that? Or like, oh, I didn't like it is. And I think it's innately harmless, like in their mind. But it is a lot of like, I have to now like either adjust how I behave around you so you don't have those questions, which is another level of like, which I know a lot of people of color deal with this as well, where it's like kind of, I guess like, I think this is more, this is probably not as like prevalent to Asian people, more to the Black community, but code switching, kind of just like how mm-hmm. you speak to people versus how you speak to somebody where you can kind of like relax your shoulders and be like, God, did you see how that person looked at you or like whatever? And so I feel like there's an extra layer that I have to kind of filter through, like when I'm at work or around other people, I'm like, what, how can I speak or say things where I am not going to draw a lot of attention to myself in that way? Because people are going to want to ask. And like, especially with all like, especially with the Atlanta shootings, sorry, again, shootings, trigger word, I'm sorry. It was really kind of interesting how many people were like, do you need anything? Are you okay? I'm like, you haven't talked to me since last year when you checked in on me when I was an essential worker. And like I had people like, I had like a whole, like someone set up a meal train, kind of like a church thing where people were bringing me food. And I'm like, I work in a grocery store.
Oh, for you?
Yeah, they're like, Courtney, are you okay? And I'm like, I personally have not been shot.
Did they ask you to set up the meal train before they did that?
They just started bringing food over. I did get some friends did Venmo me, which actually that was helpful.
I was going to say, this is weird, but also I'm like,
enough. My therapist,
you got so much free food, I bet.
Yeah, I did, and it was delicious, and I didn't have to cook. And my therapist is like, hey, girl, free money is free money, so just take the Venmo.
Sure, they're racist, but they just sent you money.
Yeah, so just take it, you know, get yourself a burrito if you want. So that was an interesting, I never really experienced that before, because I feel like I have spoken out, like, either on my own social media or just even in stand-up about my experiences as an Asian person. And that's innately political, unfortunately. Like, just my existence, me sitting here talking to you, just going anywhere, is going to be a political statement, which is not how it should be. But unfortunately, it is. And that's something that's a reality that a lot of people are having to face on both ends of it. I mean, people of color have known this forever. But, like, just, like, now it's, like, it's just a weird intersection. At least for me personally, I can't speak to everybody, of course. It's my own personal interesting experience, I guess. Where I have felt like a lot of just like, oh man, I'm not funny, I'm not interesting, because people just aren't willing to relate. And or they don't want to hear what I'm talking about. Or they're like, oh, that's pretty like heavy or dark, or like, man, we don't like booking political comics. And I'm like, I'm just talking about my childhood, you know, and they take that as being political. And now people on the flip side are now like, no, talk about these things, we want to hear. And it is kind of traumatizing to like have to like, they're like asking these really personal questions. This is different, I'm offering it, but like when people kind of get in your space about like, how do you feel about this? Mm-hmm. Like, are you okay? Like, have you ever dealt with this before? And I'm probably rambling right now, but like that's just kind of where.
We love a good ramble.
God.
That's what we do.
Also,
rambles that's and
what
rabbit
the,
holes.
That's what the podcast is about, is rambling, basically. So we should name it the Rambling Hour.
Hopefully you'll get sponsored by Ramble, the podcast host. They do a lot of YouTube people, and I.
Oh, yeah, man. We are just fighting for some sponsorships, but, you know, we're only, like, 5 episodes in.
I would be down. This is, like, obviously not, like, part of the podcast, but I would be down to do, like, an ad trade with Murder, She Joked if you'd be interested. Yes,
absolutely.
Because we don't make any money either. So, like, I mean, I think we get, like, 5 cents a month from Spotify. Great.
Wow. You know? Oh, you get paid from Spotify.
I know.
That's great.
Like 5 cents. And like, I mean,
so you each get a cent.
We each get 1 cent.
Yeah.
I did a stand-up show once, and it was my first time hosting like my own show. And we made $9 in the tip bucket, and there were 9 comedians. And so I was like so happy to give everybody $1. And they're like, Courtney, you can keep it. And I'm like, no. But like, we all did a good job. And they're just like, honestly, it's okay. So,
don't give us your pity dollars.
Please don't worry about the 9 $1 bills in that little bucket of yours.
I worked at McDonald's for a summer, and you do not get tips at McDonald's. But there was this one elderly gentleman who every morning he would come through and he would get a small cup of water and an oatmeal. And towards the end of the summer, he like gave me a dollar tip, and I'm like, sir, I'm not supposed to accept this, but thank you so much.
Yeah.
This is the only tip that I've made. I just need you to know that.
Yeah.
I really appreciate you. You're a gem.
I love it. We're not supposed to get tips at Trader Joe's either, but sometimes it is funny because it usually is older people who like try and tip you like in the parking lot with like if you take their cart. They're like, hey kid, come over here. And it's just like, oh, I have a bachelor's degree and I'm pushing 30, but sure.
Yeah. And I wonder, like, I feel like if you just reach a certain age and you just like have dollar bills, or you just like I don't know. You're a random person that right. I just ran into.
Yeah. Like,
I'll give it to you. I can't, right. like, take it with me, I guess.
That
I don't know.
Disposable income. God, to be able just to give all your dollar bills. Like, right? I would love that.
I know. Okay. So, yeah. speaking of disposable income, which speaks to jobs, yes. you have several of them. You do improv, you do stand up. You work at Trader Joe's. A lot of people would say that those are the three dream careers. What? Sure. What is, like, your dream? What do you want to end up doing? Because you also do comedy writing in general. You do a lot of, like, YouTube comedy writing and stuff like that. So, like, what is Courtney's dream? Where do you want to be in 5 years? Or 10 years, whatever.
I think it might be realistic to either 10 to 50 years, but I would love...
Either. What do whatever. You want to be when you are technically retired from Trader Joe's?
Yeah, I got into stand-up for this, too, and I've just been realizing this now that I'm coming kind of full circle, but I really want to be, like, a TV writer and then eventually have my own TV show, or, like... I want to make, like, movies and TV, and as a kid, I used to act quite a bit. I was in, like, a lot of plays. I was in a couple, like, small, like, independent movies and stuff, like, commercials. So, like, I did a lot of that because I was, again, the only Asian person in Cleveland. So, they're, like, diversity.
You got that diversity card,
that
girl.
And I could, like, sit still, and I was homeschooled, so I was available in the day. So, like, I kind of, like, got snatched up really quickly by the local, like, acting industry and, like, had, like, a manager and stuff.
Indiana. The local acting industry in Indiana.
Yeah, a little bit in Indiana, mostly Cleveland. And then just, like, my one movie, I think, is still on Amazon Prime. So you can, like, check that out. I was 14. I played a goth. It was a Christian independent movie about goth kids.
Oh, my gosh. Love that.
Called Bringing Up Bobby. I will promote that because I made a nary a dollar on it. Nothing. But I did. It was one of the best weeks of my life getting to shoot that movie. It was so much fun.
Wow. You shot for a week.
Yeah.
Was it a feature? Was it a full hour and a half?
It was a full hour and a half feature. And I thought my part was going to be a lot bigger based on how much time I was there. And you know what? I don't feel bad because Timothée Chalamet said that about Interstellar in an interview. I watched.
And look at him now.
Look at him now. Now he's just like, I don't know what. I watched him do a round table for Nomadland. He wasn't even in that movie. He just hosted it. So look at you now, Timmy. You're doing, I don't know you. He is a Capricorn.
But, you know, one day he might listen to this. Who knows?
Yeah, one day we might be married. Who knows? Cut that out.
Oh, I mean, we all have dreams.
That's where I want to be in 5 years.
Yeah, we want to get to
speak it into existence.
We want to get to six listeners.
Yeah.
There we go. Court
wants to marry Timmy.
Yeah, I think that's my five-year plan.
Love it.
No, but I guess...
TV writing.
Yes, TV writing, movie. I have, like, an idea for, like... I've been taking masterclass. I listen that you've been doing masterclass as well.
Yes.
And I've been doing Judd Apatow's
comedy class.
Yeah. And it's like, it made me realize, oh, this is really accessible. Like the way that he kind of described, like, look for cinematic moments in your life. Like, just sit down. This is how you can, like, look at a character. And I'm like, oh, these are things that, like, I innately already do, but I didn't know I was doing. And also here's ways to, like, kind of commodify what I was already doing, reproduce that. And so that really kind of encouraged me to do that. And I have a couple, like, one just about, like, my life in general of, like, just being an adopted person.
You have such an interesting story. You need to write something
homeschooled,
about that.
All that. And then kind of, like, ending up here. And, like, a lot of my bizarre backstory, I guess. And I always say I should wait until my parents pass so I don't offend them. But that's, like, kind of a weird thing to say. Like, yeah. I don't want to upset them, and I don't think they would watch it anyway. Like, they put it on the background to, like, support me and get me the numbers, but much like everything else I do, I think, just like, like, Courtney says the F word a lot, but she's our baby girl.
Yeah, just like, just press play and mute it.
Right, we can do the clean version. Just like, God, I accidentally bought one of Kendrick Lamar's, like, clean versions of his CDs, and it was such a disappointment. I'm like, it was not a CD at all. It was just
it's not how it was meant. And yeah, it was not how it was created. It was not how it was intended to be listened to.
It was,
like,
not how God intended.
Yes. Sorry, or the creator.
Or the creator. The creator.
The little C creator. Yeah. The creator of the album.
Not Tyler with the big C.
Yeah. Wow. There are so many creators out there. Good grief.
I didn't know Tyler, the creator, did a song with Justin Bieber, and I heard
which
that.
One?
Oh, it's called Holy? Justin Bieber's
No, that's Chance the Rapper.
Oh, whoops. Sorry. Oh man, I'm gonna.
It's okay. No, we don't even have to fact check it because I just corrected you.
Thank you. You did.
Yeah.
And
I know for sure that it's Chance the Rapper.
I'm gonna get my ass kicked after this. Meet me in the parking lot. Oh yeah. So yeah, TV writing.
Yeah.
Is the dream.
That was kind of how I entered into, you know, going to get my master's in film.
Yeah.
Wanting to go the whole TV writing route.
Yeah.
I took stand-up comedy classes.
I remember this.
And I, like, one, my ego's already so big and so fragile.
Yeah.
That stand-up comedy I didn't feel like was a good route for me.
Yeah.
So I was like, how do I make people laugh? And how do I tell stories that are important and meaningful and also give people hope?
Right.
Without having to verbally
tell
it myself.
Right.
And, you know, screenwriting and television writing was the route. And so did you take classes through Rick Roberts?
No.
Okay.
I know Rick Roberts, and I've been on his showcase a couple of times.
Okay.
Like, where he's just, like, plucked random, like, local comics. Be like, hey, can you, like,
pop
in and, like, kind of help out, like, in, like, the showcase at Zany's or whatever. He's really nice.
He's awesome. He's going to be one of our guests later on, but I took his stand-up comedy class, and I haven't gotten to tell him this yet, and I'm so excited to tell him, but taking his class, like, spurred me to go to film school and get this degree and pursue this specific route of storytelling.
Wait, I did take his class. I'm sorry. I was thinking of Sean Parrott.
I don't even know who that is.
He does Third Coast. I'm
sorry. Okay.
So can we edit in? Can you superimpose? Yes, I did take his class. I'm so sorry. I blanked for a second. I'm just like,
I thought you did. I thought we had talked about this.
We did. And I did take, and I was thinking you took Third Coast ones and not Rick Roberts. I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay.
Back checking myself, I'm like, oh wait, I did take his class. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was super interesting and very valuable. But I was like, this stand-up's not for me. It's not necessarily the route that I want to go because it's either going to be too heartbreaking.
Right.
Or it's going to be way too fulfilling and I'm going to have way bigger ego than I already do.
Yeah.
And neither of those things are healthy.
Right.
So what's like the middle ground where I can do something important and creative without my ego being too involved?
I feel that. Yeah. I kind of wish I would have gone that. I mean, I'm thankful for stand up and I still want to do it and all that stuff. Of course, like I'm so excited to go back to it. But like I got into stand up to do that. And I remember, like, you know, Dusty Slay, like, the little kid. I would consider him a friend of mine, him and his wife, Hannah. Like, they've taken me on the road and stuff in the past. So, like, we're friends. And he did, like, a workshop at Zany's for a while. Like, kind of, like, he would just kind of invite, like, local stand-ups to come do, like, a writing workshop. Like, workshop jokes, whatever. And he would always start off with, like, what are your goals, like, for this workshop? What are your goals overall? He was always very super encouraging guy, really nice. If you could ever get him on here, that would be...
Yeah, that would be awesome.
You honestly, like, yeah, like, I don't know if I have any weight, I'll just...
You want to put in the good word?
Put it out into the universe. If not, Hannah, his wife, is amazing, and she has her own podcast, too, right now. And she's also just in her own right an amazing stand-up as well. But he would always, he asked all of us like what we wanted to do. And everyone's like, oh, I want to like have a Comedy Central special, this and that. And of course, I would love all those things too. But like I said, I want to write for TV. And that just kind of came out of me. And I'm like, yeah, this is like, I've always loved film. I love the art form. I think it's like tedious, of course, editing and all that. And I don't know a lot about the technical aspect. But just being able to tell a good story that isn't just like you as a stand-up being like, here's my life. Because it can get a little preachy if you have to, you know, walk that tightrope of being preachy and being funny. You want to be funny. You don't want to be preachy, but, you know, but also, like, talk about yourself.
But that's, like, the great thing about comedy is that it really is able to make a statement on something really important in a way that people are able to absorb.
Yes, I agree.
You know, so something we talked about, the Murder, She Joked podcast, the improvisation podcast, super interesting. I have two thoughts on this.
Yes.
The first one is, one of the things I really loved about that first episode was one of the actresses kept saying, whoever played Becca or Becky, she kept saying, well, do you want to hear the truth? Well, this is my truth.
And I
was like,
it. Yeah.
Oh, that's so interesting. And like, I think as an improviser, it's a little different than like a stand-up comedian
Agreed.
Or a TV writer because you're kind of just like going with the flow and thinking of whatever is quickest. But I feel like for me, because I overthink everything.
Yeah.
Because I wing sick sometimes.
Yeah.
Love it. Like that was a statement on our current just like ability to process justice
right
or
agreed.
You know have a right and a wrong
yeah.
you know like we're not able to do that if everyone's truth is different. And agreed. I was just like, oh yeah, Becky's innocent because that's her truth.
Right.
No one can say that it's different than that because agreed. That would go against cultural standards.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's the beauty of comedy, or one of the beauties of comedy, is that you are able to just really poke at an important issue without offending anyone too much. Like, to the point where they're like, they're going to take it in and they're going to cry.
Right.
But they might take it in and be like, oh, this is, I feel this way. And this might not be correct.
Right. And I think about that a lot, like, especially now, like, I have more of a hyper awareness of doing comedy now, but, like, I didn't realize so much of, like, interactions with, like, at least people I know at my day job and just other places where they will quote comedians, like, stand-up specials or sketches that they watch. I'm like, oh, this and this, and because this situation reminded me of this sketch I saw on Key and Peele or something like that. And I find that interesting. That is kind of like the meeting point for a lot of people, or mm-hmm. like connecting like bigger issues. So I agree. Like comedy is amazing in that way. You can be silly and like, you know, off the wall, but also like I learned about that actually in my this week. I'm taking some Second City classes like mm-hmm. for sketch writing, and we're learning about just like scenic point of view, and as far as like you write like a sketch and you can be silly and goofy and whatever, but also like for at least for the way Second City teaches, and I think UCB teaches this too, where it's like, what is the sketch satirizing, like what is it saying, you know? And I've been watching a lot of Key and Peele because that's like been our homework and stuff too, that and like SNL, and I'm like, oh, I can pinpoint like this is like borderline offensive, but it definitely makes the point that is a good point to make. Mm-hmm. Like the one Key and Peele sketch we watched was like basically satirizing like frozen yogurt and how it's like, oh, it's fat free, eat as much as you want, and how like diet culture kind of lies to you. Mm-hmm. And like how Key's character, they're both like women, they're both in drag, and they're gorgeous women, might I add. Like Jordan, I'm in love with both of them, but Jordan Peele is a beautiful woman and a beautiful man.
Yeah, they're great.
They're amazing. And like just talking like, basically, Key's character is like, have as much frozen yogurt as you want. It's free and it's fat free. And like, you can see that she's gained quite a bit of weight.
Yeah.
And then her boyfriend comes back from Iraq and it walks into the store and it's like, hey, is Lakeisha here? And she's like, baby, it's me. It's me. And he's like, she must not work here anymore. And then it goes into like Peele, who is a new hire as a woman. She's like, oh, I think she must have PST.
Oh my gosh.
Sorry, I just recounted the whole sketch to you. But essentially, like, and like that, looking at that, and this was on my own homework. This wasn't like assigned to me per se, but like, oh, it's satirizing, like, just like how, like, corporations lie to people about like again, going back to your last episode about like how they lie about like, eat this, do this, and you'll be happy, you'll be healthy, you can like get away mm-hmm. with these things, where it's like just bullshit. You
yeah.
know? So that is, anyway, going back to like what we were talking about, just like, being able to have like a point of view and getting that across, and people being like, oh, that's funny, and oh that hurts a little bit, or that sits with me.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, comedy draws on real life,
yeah.
right? Like, it's real life experiences, real life stories. And so if it's not offensive to anyone, you're probably not writing it correctly.
I agree.
Well, we have definitely enjoyed having you on. We're going to talk about some good news. We have four stories.
Okay.
To talk about. So the first one comes from the Good News Network. California has cut toxic air pollution by 78%, and that resulted in 82% fewer attributable deaths to like culminary something. Hold on. Give me a second.
Fact checking.
Cardiopulmonary.
Okay.
I was just combining them. Culminary.
Culminary.
Yeah, culminary.
A culmination of cardiopulmonary. Culminary.
Yeah. Cardiopulmonary and cancer deaths linked to diesel pollution have dropped by 82%.
What's the time frame to where that's dropped?
It's 24 years.
24 years.
So it's basically from like...
That is a long
time.
Yeah,
1990 to 2014.
I hate that 1990 is 24-year-olds.
Do you want to move to California?
I've thought about it. I go back and forth on California and New York. I have a lot of friends, like a lot of comedy friends who had like moved out to California like a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. And so it would be nice to have friends out there. So that's kind of the thought, but I'm like, oh, the traffic though.
The traffic sucks. However, I do not want to break this to you on the podcast, but I feel like I have to. If you want to do TV writing, you are going to have to move to LA.
I know I'm going to have to. Like, yeah. Everybody who's like, Courtney, when are you moving? And I'm just like, once COVID over, I don't know. Like,
but the good news is once you move there, you'll be able to see more of it because it's going to be less polluted.
Yes, agreed. Yeah. It won't be all the smog. Like, yes. Like in Hilary Duff's Cinderella story that came out in 2005, there was a scene.
Was it 2005 or was it earlier than that?
It was 2005. Okay. I'm pretty sure. So I was 12. Jennifer Coolidge should have gotten a fucking Oscar for that role. Just saying. But she talks about at the end where she's like, oh, I love the San Fernando Valley. But like, you can see it through the smog. That's literally what she says about it.
Great film.
It's so good. And again, Jennifer Coolidge, she looks kind of like my Aunt Renee.
Shout out to Aunt Renee.
Yeah. You're not listening because I don't know if you know what the internet is. God bless you.
But if you happen to find us, Aunt Renee, please follow, subscribe, and share with your network.
Yes. Yeah. Her network of, she sells insurance. So,
sure. I mean, whatever. We'll take what we can get right now.
Put us on in the background, then finish your Friday afternoon.
Yes. All right.
The next story comes from Optimist Daily. Oh, Spain. I like that. Is set to pilot a 4-day work week program.
Down. 100%
right?
Down.
So if I were running for president, this would be my entire platform.
Yeah.
It works.
It does. It really does.
So Unilever in New Zealand is currently running this program, and they are seeing that the change is, quote, an effective way to support workers and create a healthier work-life balance, unquote. And they're seeing, like, or they're not seeing, but in Spain, they're hoping for less emissions because people are not traveling to work as much. Healthier employees in general, happier workers, less absenteeism, improved productivity. Like, they're expecting all of these things to kind of come out of this pilot program.
Do they get to choose that one day, though? Or is it like... Oh, no, you just – I'll get Friday off, and it's a 3-day week. Or is it – can I go like, well, actually, I have an appointments all day on Wednesday to knock out, you know, my vaccine, to knock out the dentist,
right,
to go to the chiropractor, to go get my, you know, back massaged or something.
So they did not specify this in the article. But I think that you could do all of those things on a Friday.
I think so.
This is totally an aside. When I am writing new characters for scripts, I assign all of them Enneagrams because it helps me understand what their motivations are as characters.
That's genius.
Thank you.
That is fucking genius.
I know, right?
I need to start doing that. Oh my God.
Where's my air horn?
I know.
Smart insider tip for someone who's not an insider.
Yeah, can we like
give all of your characters Enneagram numbers?
We need to start working together more because I have stuff that like you have the education and I, you know, in the ideas,
and you have the creativity. I don't know, all of this stuff to follow through on.
I don't know. I definitely am like we're gonna fucking do this, and like I will like harass you until it's done.
Listen, I am on page 20 of a script right now, and this is a big deal for me. That's because amazing. I usually stop after page 10.
Yeah.
Or you know, after the idea.
Yeah. I'm after like, the oh, long I'm already line. Bored with this. Yeah. You get to the long log line, and I'm like, I don't know. Like so. You ever want anyone to read anything?
Yes, I would love it. I will let you know whenever it's ready. And I have like, you know, because I'm trying not to edit it too much as I'm like going through the initial writing, because then you just get into this, you just get stuck into just editing and never actually finishing it. So I'm trying to finish it.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to revise, edit, and then I'm going to share it.
Yeah.
Nick is expecting it on June 1st. We might have to push that date back.
Nope, June 1st.
That's pretty soon.
It's so soon. And, you know, I just need to find time to do it.
You have just under 2 months.
So it's like, are you doing kind of like, what is it, on The Office, they talked about like having a blue skies day where anything can happen. So are you kind of in that phase of like, anything can happen in this story. This character can do this and this, and then just like not self-editing at all is kind of where you're at right now?
Not necessarily. Okay. So I have a pretty clear direction on my pilot of where it's going to start and where it's going to end, and kind of the big relationships that are happening within that pilot to establish those big relationships, right? Like a good pilot always establishes those core relationships.
Agreed.
But there are just, I need to kind of work in some new scenes and just flesh out some scenes.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I'm at. I have a general direction. I just need to flesh it out.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That I'm, is... Dude, I'm pumped.
I'm
like,
pumped for
this
you.
This is the furthest that I've gotten on a script since film school.
That's amazing.
Probably since before film school. I never even finished a script in film school. I don't know how I graduated.
I know, because you're very talented and very funny. And the one time we met for coffee, what, The Well or somewhere like that?
Remember? Oh my gosh, I forgot about
that. Remember
that?
Were you in crutches at that point?
Probably. Our next story comes from fizz.org.
Okay.
NASA's Ingenuity helicopter survived its first night alone on Mars.
Oh,
so
okay.
The Ingenuity helicopter was attached to the Perseverance rover,
okay,
which we've talked about before,
yeah,
because it landed on Mars in February, and now they have the Ingenuity helicopter, which is taking its, like, the first ever flights on
That's
Mars,
awesome.
Which is pretty cool, right?
That's really cool, yeah.
So they, like, had to, you know, figure out the right, I don't know, like, shell, and just to make sure that it would be able to survive the temperatures, because apparently on Mars it gets down to, like, negative 90 degrees Celsius.
Oh.
130 degrees Fahrenheit.
Oh, God, yeah.
Which is, for everyone out there, that's, like, Antarctica temperatures.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's, you know, it's the first earthly,
yeah,
we'll say that, the first earthly flights happening on Mars. Who knows what have happened on Mars prior to us getting there.
Right.
But that's pretty cool.
That is really cool. Good job. Good job, guys.
NASA, which I'm still waiting on a tweet back from... I asked them a couple of weeks ago if you're able to sneeze in space, and I haven't heard back. So
we're still waiting. We're still waiting.
We'll get Timothy Chalamet on that.
Yeah.
He'll ask them for
us. I think
us.
He can actually also submit a contact form, so I might escalate it.
That would be really cool.
And
honestly.
Just, yeah, and just be like, dude, I'm trying to fact check this on my podcast. It's a really important podcast,
yeah,
and we have a lot of listeners.
We have a big following.
Who are really interested in, like, knowing if you can sneeze in space.
Like, Earwolf is in our periphery of podcast hosts that we listen to.
Exactly.
Right.
All right, the last story. This one I just think is really funny. A Japanese company is offering paid leave, like grievance leave, for employees who are mourning the exit of their favorite stars from a band.
Oh my God, I would have been in that like 5 times already.
So I do feel like maybe Asian pop stars...
Yeah.
Are not necessarily just like pop stars, right? Like, they're not Taylor Swift.
Right,
they
right.
aren't Katy Perry, Justin Timberlake. They have big, like, they have bands. They're always
right.
kind of a part of these groups.
Yeah.
So this company is like, well, if your favorite leaves, retires,
yeah.
graduates,
right,
then you can take paid leave.
That's amazing, because, like, people love BTS. That's the only one I can name. And
it's
I'm sorry.
Yeah, there are some in this article.
There's one like unicorn.
AKB48.
Oh my God.
That's the name of one.
There's one called like Unicorn Sushi, I think, or something like that.
Probably.
That my friends really like. I have 2 friends who really like them a lot.
Kanjani is one.
All right.
So, and you can also get some paid leave if you're second favorite.
If you're second favorite.
Yeah.
Okay, so One Direction, Zayn was not my favorite, but he left. But then they disbanded.
But they broke up.
So can I take paid leave? Because Harry technically has left the group.
You could.
And also,
well, I don't know if it translates to, like, if you're a favorite American. Like,
damn,
if you were Japanese and your favorite American pop star left the group, I don't know if it would translate.
Oh, I see.
But if it did, this is my question for you guys. Which star, if they just, like, retired from their career,
okay,
would you want to take paid leave for?
John Mulaney.
Okay. You do love him.
He is, I mean, we met once. I don't know if he's going through a divorce. Fact check that. But, like, John, I'm here.
Is he first or second to Timmy?
He's going to be first.
Okay.
Because,
okay.
I mean, the only thing he has going against him is his age. Because, like, Timmy and I are, like, maybe a year apart, and John is pushing 40. So,
eh, it's only 12 years.
It's not that bad, yeah. But John looks pretty young, and he was so kind.
He got
so
a baby funny. Face.
He has had a baby face, and he also grew up Catholic, so we can relate to that. Where Timmy had such a privileged life, where I don't know how much we can relate to that. I'm like, oh, my mom was a casting director, and my dad is French. And I'm like, well, I got beat with a wooden spoon as a child, so let's compare notes.
Okay, so John Mulaney. Nikki J., what about you?
Oh, man. I don't know. Kevin Costner? I feel like officially got out of it.
Interesting. Interesting. Okay.
Dances with Wolves.
Fantastic movie.
Did Kevin Costner? No.
Field of Dreams.
Oh, see, Field of Dreams. Movie.
What he's doing with Yellowstone.
Yellowstone. Yeah. The only thing I remember from Dances with Wolves is that he drank from water with a dead deer, and then I saw his butt at too young of an age. There was another one he did.
Did you also see his butt? Is that what reminded you?
Yeah, I saw his butt. Then he did like some movie about the Cleveland Browns. I'm from Cleveland, so didn't he do a movie about the Cleveland Browns?
I don't know, probably.
He was like
I do remember some sort of baseball movie with
the Cleveland Browns is football. Draft day.
He did some sort of like football movie. I remember that because they filmed it here.
This is totally a side note, but during like early on in the pandemic, someone tweeted basically just their prediction of the timeline of what was going to happen over the next year. And it was stuff like, you know, COVID happened. Murder Hornet showed up, and then it was like My Little Pony turns out to be real and eats humans. And then February 2021 was Cleveland Browns win the Super Bowl.
Oh my
and
god!
And it was my favorite. They got so close.
They got so close.
Oh my gosh!
What
the Cleveland Browns win?
Come on, boys! Come on! Get out of the doghouse for once. Just saying.
I don't think it's ever going to happen for them.
I don't either.
This was probably the closest year for them.
They made some pretty good moves over the offseason.
I think they're really pushing towards like, okay, we really got to rebrand because we've been fucking shitty for a while. And like between them and like the Indians almost getting the World Series in like 2016, but against like the Cubs. I mean, I get everyone wanting the Cubs to win because the Cleveland Indians won. I also hate that name. I'm sorry, but they won. What was it like before the Cubs won? There was some in like the order of like chronological order of like who won the World Series between the two of them. And they're like, I want the Cubs to win, and I'm like, it is the Cubs, right? I'm not fucking.
No,
this.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I just remember being very invested in like, no, they got it. The Cleveland Indians got to win. They got to win. They got to win. They didn't because they biffed it in like the last three games, and I'm embarrassed. But whatever.
That's okay.
I mean, I wasn't part of the team.
Sure.
So
yeah.
I never will be. I did get a couple of autographs on my Cleveland Indians hat when I was like 11. I was like, sign my hat. Like I hold, like putting it through the chain link fence, much like how I visit my aunt in the convent. Like, please touch me. Not in the Catholic Church. Not like that.
Oh my gosh.
I'm sorry. Okay.
On that note. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. We are going to wrap it up there. Courtney, thank you so much for joining us as a guest. We cannot wait for part 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, probably. I'm sure we reached 7.
I'm sure we reached 7.
Yeah.
But we enjoyed having you, and thank you guys so much for listening, and we cannot wait to be with you next week.
Cheers.
Fact check.
Are we going to keep using the air horn? We used it last week. I think we should use it again.
I mean, I always kind of have it on cue.
Fact check.
Oh, the real fun thing is to use that in meetings, like business meetings, and interrupt something important with.
That would be pretty good.
Yeah,
that would be really
it's
good.
It's the best. I'm a great manager, people. All right, time for the fact check for this week because we love talking about ways that we were wrong.
And this list is small yet again, though. We found a lot of things during the episode that we corrected ourselves on. So.
Yes, because we are so quick with our little thingies. We type very fast, probably like at least 100 words a minute. I don't know. What's fast?
I have no idea.
God, are we going to have to fact check that?
That'll be next week's problem.
It doesn't matter. We don't care about that. Okay. So we talked about Cinderella's story, and we were convinced that it was released in 2005, but it was actually released in 2004.
Which, for us thinking that far back during the episode, I mean, 1 year's really not that bad.
I know, but we
I know we're still wrong.
We should have known 2004 was like peak Hillary Duff, man.
I know.
We should have known.
I know.
But we do now. We corrected it, and we are better for it. So that is the fact check for the week. Thanks for listening, everyone. Nicholas Elliott is our producer and does pretty much everything important around here. Josh over at Sud Studios made us sound cool with the theme song. Sean Connolly out of the Emerald Isle finds our good news each week. Haruna Rashid creates all of our podcast artwork. And I am the one you hear talk way too much, Gina Medlin. Subscribe to us wherever you get your podcast, and remember to follow, like, and share our show. Thanks for spending time with us, and we'll see you again next week. Cheers!